Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And we welcome you to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Worldwide, back pain is the single leading cause of disability, preventing many people from engaging in work as well as other everyday activities. And experts estimate that up to 80% of the population experienced back pain at some point in their lives. Our guest today has an incredible story of living with severe back pain since she was a teenager, and it got so bad that one day she took a handful of pharmaceuticals. And joining us from Johannesburg, South Africa, to tell her story is Yolanda Petster. Yolanda, thanks very much for doing this. You have an incredible story. Do you recall how your back pain first started?
Hi, Ian. Thanks for welcoming me. I actually just finished school. I was very active in high school. I played first team hockey. Then I went to the South African Air Force, and then I realized, but this chronic back pain is not going away. They will give you some anti-inflammatories and it will go away about for 2-3 weeks, then it returns. And yeah, it just got worse from there.
And take us through what a typical day was like for you.
I would really contemplate getting out of my bed. You go to bed with backache. You can't sleep properly. You sleep with about 12 pillows on your bed, constant tossing and turning, and frequently getting up, just go and walk around so you can get the feeling back in your legs, because you actually don't know what's going on and nobody can give you answers.
And this goes on day after day after day.
Day after day, nonstop. You actually start to sound like a mole. If somebody asks you how you're feeling, you say, oh, I've got back pain, my back is sore, I've got pain. It's like a constant thing you have to repeat, because everybody knows you're suffering with back pain. Now they keep on asking you, and meanwhile, you're just trying to cope with the pain that's going on, and you're not sleeping well, you're not feeling well, you want to do things with your children, and you can't do that. Your children is 2-3 years old. My children was small then, and I actually couldn't play with them. I had to play with them for like 10 minutes, and I had to go sit down. I couldn't carry them. I couldn't pick them up. Just going to the grocery store was a huge effort for me, because the floor tiles are too slippery, and I know if I just slip for a moment or two, then I would be down for 2 weeks in bed.
Did you pretty much constantly have no feeling in your legs?
It started off with my right leg. It almost felt like your hip will be displaced with a sharp stinging pain down your leg. Then your leg will go numb. But mine was predominantly on the right. And that went on, and the more I told the doctors that something's not right, they did all these tests, and eventually they told me, yeah, my stomach muscles is too weak. I need to strengthen that, because that can't keep the vertebrae up straight.
Really?
So you had weak stomach muscles, and what did they tell you? Just to exercise your stomach muscles and you'd be fine?
They put me, the hospital put me 2 weeks in traction. And after that, the neurologist came back. She said, well, the only thing she can see is that my stomach muscles is too weak. That was in 2002. After, I must add, after one night, I was standing in my kitchen, and I just went numb from my mid-waist down. So they admitted me, did all these tests, and then the doctor came back and said, yeah, your stomach muscles must be too weak. You must just exercise them.
So at this point in the game, how many pharmaceuticals are you taking?
Yo, I was on that stage on about 6 to 10 different Schedule 5 medicine.
6 to 10?
Yes, three times a day.
Three times a day.
So are we talking analgesics, anti-inflammatories, a combination of both?
Combination of both plus steroids.
Okay, so can you name a couple that you were on that people might recognize?
Coxflam, I don't know how many of these you've got there, but we've got Coxflam, Tramagesic, Tramadol. That's only a couple I can think of that I was on then. That right. was still the light things.
So, Yolanda, when did you have your first surgery?
That was actually in 2007. What happened, I went over to the South African Police Force, and I was at a place in the Northwest Province. I was stationed there. And actually, the same thing that happened in 2002 happened there again. And I went to the doctor then. He said, no, that's not right. Something must be up. So he sent me to a neurologist in Rustenburg, and I went to see him, and he did an MRI. And that was about 11 o'clock in the morning. That night, around about 9 o'clock, I was still sitting at the x-ray department waiting for the neurologist to see me. And my husband then, he went to the guy, the receptionist, and he said, listen, we've been sitting here since this morning. What's going on? And he found the neurologist because he was in surgery, and he said, ma'am, please, doctor said you're not allowed to move like 2 inches. You need to sit still. He's sending a bag down now because there's something. He'll come and see you after surgery. So I went on the bed, and I went up 11 o'clock that night. The doctor came to see me, and he had a look at my scans, and he said, did a horse kick you on your back? Did you fall? What did you do? I said, nothing. He says, I've got bad news. Your back is broken.
Whoa.
He says, it's like 2 centimeters, and you will be paralyzed for the rest of your life. So he went ahead and he scheduled me for emergency surgery, and they did a one-level fusion with a transplanted bone and a steel cage and some other hardware in my back. And it went okay, but I still had that numb feeling in my right leg. It did not go away. But I went on, you go from one doctor to another. Hopefully you can find someone that can explain to you what's going on. And eventually, I started working in a government department here in South Africa, and I went to see a proper doctor, and he did quite a lot of scans and stuff. So he told me, he says, yeah, you've got osteoarthritis. So I said, okay, fine, what are you going to do? He says, no, we need to fuse another 3 levels of your lower back. So I said, okay, let's do that. Then it went well. That was in 2008. Then in 2011, some of the screws, the bolts and stuff they put in, it moved because I fell down the one day, so they had to operate again, fusing another level. In 2017, that is actually where my life started changing. The one doctor told me I've got spinal stenosis and disc degenerative disease. So it basically means that my spine is crumbling. And on the other hand, if they do an operation, the bone that they take from my hip to transplant, it grows too fast, and it's now growing, it's narrowing my spinal column. So I can wake up any day, I can be standing now, I can just be paralyzed for the rest of my life. There's no time limit on it also. So in 2017, August, I woke up the one morning and I was paralyzed from my neck down. I couldn't switch off my alarm clock. My daughter actually was thinking I was making a joke when I told her I can't switch off. So eventually I went in to hospital. I was in hospital for about 4 days. They did an MRI again. No doctor came to see me, actually. And after the fourth day, I saw another lady that was lying next to me. I saw her doctor. And I asked, please, can somebody just have a look at my MRI? I want to know what's going on. I can't move. I can't, you know, I can't do nothing. I'm paralyzed. And nobody's telling me what to do. And he then came and he said, oh, but you're going to ask this and this doctor. So I said, but I know that doctor because he did my first back up. So he came in, and when he saw my MRI, he was actually standing outside in the passage, and he started to whistle. And that's not something you want your doctor to hear.
Boy, so you just must have been so scary, too, to be lying there waiting to hear what's going on. And
I tell you, I just told him, I said, well, you don't actually do that. You're like a mechanic that looks under the bonnet and just whistles because there's so much problems. So I said, yeah, well, I've got bad news. Four of your vertebrae just burst. And it's pinching on nerves and your spine is bent and things like that. All of the nice stuff. So I said, okay, what are you going to do now? I said, no, another surgery. Now you must know, after all these medications, I've been on OxyContin, Lyrica, Gabapentin, you name it, sleeping tablets. I just walk into a pharmacy or into a doctor's consultancy and I say, this is a medication I want. Because at one stage, you just want to get rid of your pain. So you start drinking meds to actually get high, to forget about that pain. Mm-hmm. And that is how bad not only my pain, but also my addiction to these pharmaceuticals was. And so I went for the operation. It went well for 3 months. In December 2017, I went for my follow-up, my 6 weeks follow-up. The doctor said, no, they have to operate again because one of the vertebrae didn't fuse properly. So I said, well, in that case, no. My body can't take anymore. I've been on crutches and in a wheelchair for the past year. I can't take anymore. My work, I had a good job, and I'm mostly off sick because I can't handle just getting to work was an issue for me because I had to use public transport. And so I started Googling around, and I found this one doctor that's a pain specialist. Everybody recommended him and said, no, go and see this doctor. So I went to see him. He said, no, no problem. We do just another surgery. We resus the nerves in your hips and your neck, and we do these little procedures. Then you'll be fine. Went fine for another 3 months, and then it started all over again. I tell you, I was back on crutches. I was depressed. And because you really put your hope in so many things, because everybody promised you that you will get better, you will be better. And then it goes better for about 2-3 weeks, and then you're back to square one. And eventually, when you find a medication that works, not long after that, they remove it from the market. So the one day I was sitting, and actually one of my lifelong friends, I remembered that he's into cannabis, and after his wife passed away due to cancer, he told me he's going to find a cure for cancer. And I remembered him that day, and I sent him a WhatsApp, and I said, listen, is this still your number? I need to get your meds because I'm now at my wit's end. I can't take anymore. So little at that, you know, you get used to overnight quick fixes, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You don't realize that it's quite a process. You're working with a natural medicine, and everything that's natural takes some time. So I started on the cannabis medication. I use the full extract cannabis oil and also topical ointment that I use. And at that stage, I was really, really down in the dumps because I followed everything that everybody told me and advice. I did exercises and nothing worked. Now, this friend of mine, he comes and he tells me, no, use this. So after a month, I feel like, you know what, you also made me promises. This is not working. My daughter's finishing matric. My son is 9 years old. What's there left for me? I can't do anything. I can't. The heaviest thing I'm allowed to pick up is an empty shoebox. Because you never know if you pick up something too heavy, is it going to snap your back or what's going to happen? Are you going to be able to stand up tomorrow morning? Mm-hmm. And I was really, really depressed. And the one night I just decided, you know what? My kid's got a terrific dad. Everybody's taken care of. So instead of just being like a mill on everybody's neck, just saying, I've got backache, just take yourself away. And I drank a lot of tablets. And as I told you, some of those were Schedule 6 medicine, OxyContin. The next thing I remember, I woke up with the paramedics and my daughter standing next to my bed. And that is where my eyes woke up and I realized how close to death I actually was. And just because of pain.
That is absolutely remarkable. So you wake up, the paramedics are there, and they take you to a hospital. What was going through your mind while you were there?
I didn't go to hospital.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
I didn't go to hospital. I refused. I just stood up. And luckily what I learned from my friend in that period is, you know, you need to focus on what's there and then around you. And I sort of got myself out of that state. And that's why I realizing that there must be hope. Maybe if you go start looking at your thoughts, go and look at what you eat, go and look at everyday things, small little things that you do, focus on the here and now. And that's where I started. And I said, I'm going to take my medication, my FICO, and I'm going to put on my oils. I'm going to follow my diet, my alkaline diet, because I want to be better. I want to be a better mom for my kids. I want to be a better person. I don't want to complain all the time. So, and it took a lot of myself to take that strength and just step up and say, I'm going to do this. And I don't care how long it's going to take me, but there must be a reason that I did not die that night.
Absolutely. When you were taking the cannabis oil, were you starting to wean yourself off your pharmaceuticals?
Yes. At that stage, I was drinking Simgen, Trazodone, Dabaqua, Lyrica, Gabapentin, Adderalls, and sleeping tablets. I think it was Zolpidem or something like that. And I was thinking, I was drinking about, I would say about 2 or 3 weeks, and I started feeling sick. It was like, I just didn't know, I didn't feel very well. So I contacted my friend and I said, what's happening? So he explained to me that I'm busy detoxing and the cannabis oil is actually taking over the function now of that medication. It's starting to heal my brain and my body. And this is now where I need to start weaning myself off. And I have tried previously to wean myself off medication. So I actually know how to do that. So I started halving my dosages. And I think it was 3 months. I just felt the one morning when I woke up, I don't need you anymore. I actually went and I flushed them down the toilet. Because I had no pain. I didn't wake up with pain. And my medication was next to my bedside. Because that was the first thing I had to drink in the morning just to get out of bed, was my medication. And when I woke up that morning, I just felt like I didn't need you anymore.
That's fascinating that all of a sudden it was like it kicked in and your body was in the healing process and you intuitively knew that you didn't need your pharmaceuticals.
That's correct. It was just like my body told me, you don't need that anymore.
Interesting. How long after you started taking oil before you noticed it making or having any kind of impact?
I started the first change, I started noticing about 6 to 7 weeks. Then I realized, I can handle my pain better. My mind's more clearer. I sleep better. And that's the most important thing. I didn't sleep well. And one of my physios told me the one day, she asked me, she said, but how are you sleeping? I said, I don't sleep at all. If I got sleep like 1 or 2 hours a night, that was a miracle. So she told me that because I'm so tired, my brain cannot process the pain that I'm experiencing. And I'm getting depressed because I don't sleep. And it's just like an evil wheel going around the whole time.
So you're off your pharmaceuticals. You're on cannabis. Tell us how much you're taking every day.
At this stage, I'm actually not taking my cannabis oil as I'm supposed to. I've been on it now 2 years that I've been pharmaceutical free. I only take my oil now when it's draining because of the steel that's in my body and things like that. It does get painful. Then I'll drink my infused oil. It's a broad-spectrum infused oil that I'm using. And also, I call it my cannabutter, my miracle cream that I use as a topical ointment. I've got, for example, I've got a spasm in my neck that if I sleep wrong or anything and I wake up tomorrow morning, I can't actually turn my head. And it looks like a string from my shoulder to my neck. You can't believe it. I want to take a video of it one day. And within 5 minutes after applying the cannabutter, it's like it's gone. I've got no pain and I can function normally.
Isn't that wonderful? Do you take and were you taking all of your medicine orally or did you do suppositories as well?
In the beginning, I used to do them only orally and then the topical cream. But I found that because I'm in menopause as well, and that's another story, I can't use hormone replacement therapy because I had a breast lump that they were worried about. So they don't want to put me on HRTs. And that's when I decided to use infused coconut oil in a suppository form, and that sorted the menopause.
Excellent.
And I must say the breast lump was about 5 by 7 centimeters a year and a half ago, a little bit more than a year and a half ago. And we don't feel it anymore. It's gone.
Nice.
Yeah, that is. Was it a benign breast tumor?
Yeah.
But it's gone. Fascinating.
It's gone.
That's really, really a fascinating story. That about your progress has been remarkable, and I'm wondering. Give us an idea of what your life is like today, and compared to what it was like at your worst.
At my worst, I didn't want to wake up, actually. Now...
That's when you that's when you took your overdose.
Yes. That was my worst. Now, today, I learned so much in what it does and how it works, and I know what my lowest was, and I so much know also that there are so many other people that's actually in my situation currently. I'm on so many groups that's got to do with spinal diseases and things. Mm-hmm. And my heart cries for them because I know what the answer is. But then they tell me, but it's not legal in our country.
Yeah. What is the situation with cannabis oil in South Africa?
Well, at this stage, it's legal. I think let Andre quickly tell you that. He's the professor on that side.
Hi there, everybody.
Okay, this is Andre Britz, who is... Okay, Andre, go ahead.
Hi, yes, regarding legalization of cannabis, you can grow your own cannabis in your location or your house. You can make your own medication. You are not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to sell the plant material, and you're not allowed to sell medication. You can only prescribe medication if you are a practitioner or basically a herbal healer or a traditional healer, or they call us traditional doctors. We study for that.
But you are allowed to make cannabis oil for your own consumption?
Yes, you are. You are allowed to make cannabis oil for your own consumption. But the knowledge in South Africa regarding cannabis is not that big. That's why we are actually training people at Medical Cannabis Academy. We call it the Sheba Academy. And that will get the people into it. And we also train medical doctors and professors regarding cannabis because the medical practitioners actually don't know anything regarding cannabis and how it works because it's not being studied. It's being labeled basically as a drug. But in South Africa, so far, we are still battling. Hopefully, in 2 months' time, we'll probably get a result from the High Court in South Africa regarding the cannabis legalization.
Can I ask, please, if you recall, were you using any particular strains for this medicine for Rolanda? And also, was it a multi-strain oil that you did?
Yeah, look, I specialize basically in the endocannabinoid system of the body. I don't know if you know about that. So we're looking at your CB1 and CB2 receptors and in your brain and your spinal cord also, and then all over your body. But the more we look at that, we found that you need a broad spectrum of cannabinoids in
yes.
your medication, basically, because you need a lot of THCs, your acids, your delta 8s, delta 9s, your CBDs, and your different 145, I think, is now available that we can study in the world of cannabinoids in the world. That's been identified also medicinally. I was thinking about using, what I'm doing is I'm using 5 to 6 different strains. I use a sativa or an indica, and then you do get some hybrids in there. But what I do is I usually check the cannabinoid content, the percentage, and then from that, I work at a broad spectrum so that I can have more than enough cannabinoids in the oil. So it can look, if you look at the endocannabinoid system and how your THCs and CBD works on your CB1 and CB2 receptors, you can see how the cannabis works on the body as a whole and not just one specific disease. So I would suggest this approach, and that's how I make it. And that's how I see the results in my patients also, as I saw in Yolanda. So that is the best thing for me, but depends on also the condition the patient has and what type of oil you use. The terpenes are also very important in cannabis. And if you can put in extra natural terpenes, it will also help alleviating the pain, for example, black peppercorns with cannabis in the mouth, and it takes away migraines or pains in the body. And that is part of your terpene that gets released and works together with your cannabis. I call them like a married couple, They actually fight with each other, but they cannot work without each other, you see. So the two have to work together, and that is important. So you have to use a broad spectrum. And if you use an infused type of oil or tinctures, I don't believe so much in tinctures because I don't believe in the alcohol side of that. And then also the full extract cannabis oils. Just to say one thing, in South Africa, we are lucky to actually have our oils tested for percentages in THCs or all your different cannabinoids, and then also your basic contaminants that's in there, and that you don't want a human to consume.
Right.
So in South Africa, it's the best, and I teach it also to my students. The best is to use a broad spectrum, yes.
Great. Thanks, Andre. I appreciate it. Yolando, you will be on cannabis the rest of your life. Do I have that right?
Oh, definitely. I will. The only time, because I told you about my bad spot. Now, you know what? I actually can pick up boxes. I can play with the kids. I've got energy. I can think clearly because my mind is not cluttered with pharmaceuticals where you actually feel you feel numb. You don't have actually you've got any feelings or something. You just drag yourself through the day when you're on pharmaceuticals. Where with cannabis, my whole life really changed. I built stronger relationships. I'm just doing more than what I used to do. I sleep better.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Yolanda, we really appreciate you reaching out to us telling your story, because you have a remarkable story from someone who really attempted suicide because the pain was so bad and you didn't want to live, to someone who is off her 6 to 10 medications and has been off for 2 years. You were wheelchair bound and you're out of that. And now it seems you're recovering well. And we thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I just want everybody to know there is hope. And I really pray and hope they legalize cannabis everywhere.
Thank you so very much.
Bye.
And we don't have any sponsors on Cannabis Health Radio. And the reason we don't is because they can sell CBD and you can pick up CBD anywhere. And quite frankly, with so many companies, you don't know whether it's quality CBD or not. So what we do is we rely on listeners for their support to support Cannabis Health Radio. You can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month on our Patreon page. And also, if you want to make a one-time donation, go to cannabishealthradio.com and make a donation, and we'd appreciate it very much. And we'd like you to spread the word about our show on whatever platform you listen to our podcasts on, and there's so many out there. You can share also the podcast on your social media because you might save a life. And we encourage you as well to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that with others who you think may be interested. And thank you once again for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. We'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.